The word today is branch. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah used the image of a shoot coming up from the stump of a tree to refer to Jesus, our Savior. Here to take a closer look at this beautiful Bible prophecy is Bible scholar Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Branch.
In one of my recent broadcasts, I was talking about trees and the symbolism of trees in the Bible. One of the things about trees is that they have deep roots that go down and gives them tremendous staying power. And that's one of the important things about today's topic. Today's word is branch. We're going to be thinking specifically about the type of branch that comes up as a little shoot from the stump of a tree. Maybe you've seen huge trees that have been felled or cut down, and then through the power of the root system, this scrawny little branch, this reed of a shoot comes up from the power of the root system in order to try to form a new tree, a new beginning. And that's what we're going to be thinking about here, and we're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 6 and Isaiah chapter 11 as analogies of this stump and this root or branch that comes out of the stump. Isaiah 6 is a picture of the commissioning of the prophet Isaiah and God having him be called into public service in order to speak God's word to the people of Israel. And there's this beautiful phrase in that chapter about who will go for us and whom shall God send? And Isaiah responds so beautifully, "Here am I, send me." And then God cauterizes his lips with a burning coal to purify him as a spokesman for the Lord. Well, later on down there in that same chapter in Isaiah 6 is a lesser known analogy. And this one is about the kingdom of Israel that's going to lie dormant and kind of dead, almost like a tree that's been cut off, and yet there is going to be what's called the holy seed that remains. In verse 13 it says, "And though a tenth remains in the land," talking about the people after the enemies of God had done their deportations and had run roughshod over Israel, "only a tenth of the people remain and the land is laid waste, but as a terebinth and oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." Now that's a promise that God's holy lineage would remain even though the country would be decimated, even though the country would cease to exist in most people's minds. God would not forsake his promise of bringing a Messiah through the Jewish nation to the world. And I know what that's like about those big trees being cut down, and you do too, that even though they look dead, there still is a power to grow new life in them. And that's why this is such an appropriate analogy. The people of Israel really did look like they had come to an end on several occasions. And in fact, in Isaiah chapter 11, the prophet uses this exact same analogy once again when he says, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit." And then it goes on to discuss a person, and it starts talking about an individual, and it says, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth." We see this as a prophecy regarding Jesus, Who would be this one with such wisdom that would rest on him? Who would be this shoot that would come up from the stump of Jesse? It is none other than the person of Jesus himself. In fact, Jesus is of the royal lineage of Israel. He is of the line of King David. Now, this is something that's surprising and very exciting for Bible researchers and historians, because we find that even though the nation of Israel ceased to exist as a political entity, that is, as an independent nation free to do its own thing, still, God kept that promise of keeping that eternal king alive for Israel. And in fact, we have two genealogies that have been written in the New Testament that show that Jesus is connected directly by bloodline to King David in the Old Testament. One of them is in Matthew chapter 1, and the other one is in Luke chapter 3. And both of these show the direct lineage of Jesus from David. Now then, why would Isaiah discuss Jesse? Who is Jesse then? Jesse was King David's father. So we see that this is very tight, very intact, that Jesus did indeed descend from King David. Well, why is that so important? Well, the reason it's important is because the promises regarding the Messiah were that he would come from the Jewish people. And also, God had promised that he would bring an eternal king, a ruler that would live forever, that would govern God's people. And you might think, well, how can that be? How can there be a ruler who will last forever? Or how can the kingdom of God's people in Israel extend on forever? The answer lies in the person of Jesus. Jesus isn't just any mere king. He isn't any mere mortal. He's the divine Son of God. And so what's amazing is that God was promising that the Messiah would come through this line of Jewish kings, but when he came, he would not be a normal king, not a normal human. He would be the divine Son of God, and therefore eternal king, Lord of lords. And so we start to see the beauty of this analogy from the Old Testament. There's another place in the New Testament that maybe Matthew, the writer of the gospel, was using a play on words as he was discussing Jesus being this branch, this shoot that came up from the lineage of the people of Israel who had been cut down. By the way, I should comment, why was Israel cut down? Why was the nation punished that way? It was because of their unrepentance, their refusal to leave their sins of idolatry and immorality. And God had sent them prophets time and again to warn them that this punishment was coming, but they didn't listen. They didn't turn away from it. This is very instructive for societies today, that they had better take heed to the word of God and had better live according to his moral dictates, or else the day will come that the punishment of God will be exacted. John the Baptist was preaching the same thing to the crowds that were coming out to hear him. He used the illustration that the axe is already at the root of the trees. The punishment was coming. And sure enough, the Romans decimated the temple in Jerusalem and wreaked havoc upon the Jewish nation at around 70 AD. So God's punishment does not delay. It does not get held off forever. If a country will not repent of sin and turn to God, there will be a judgment, and that judgment is extreme. So everyone who's hearing this needs to take this to heart and to get right with God, to repent of their sins and to avoid his judgment. It's true not only for individuals, but also for entire nations. But back to this idea with Matthew. Matthew took the fact that Jesus, after he was brought back as a little tiny child, maybe only a couple years old, he was brought back to Israel by Mary and Joseph after they had fled to Egypt. They were warned when Jesus was born that King Herod was out to search and destroy all the children that had been born in Bethlehem's vicinity. And so they fled to Egypt for a period of time until King Herod died. Well, after his death, they were free then to return and they would be safe. But they didn't relocate in their old town. They went to Nazareth in order to live there. Now, what's interesting about this is that the word Nazareth sounds an awful lot like the Hebrew word Neser, which means branch. So Matthew may have thrown this piece of information in there for us in his gospel to say that Jesus would be called a Nazarene, not only to let us know that his family relocated to Nazareth for a period of time, but maybe also as a pun, a play on words. As the Greek Nazareth sounded an awful lot like the Hebrew word Neser, which meant branch, maybe Matthew was in a kind of offhand way alluding to the fact that Jesus was the fulfillment of this Old Testament prophecy that this shoot would come up from the stump of Jesse, that he would be the Messiah. Now, one of the things that's beautiful about this passage is that God is the master of bringing life from death. We see here that the defeated royal line of the Jews, of King David, that seemed totally defunct, now produced this Messiah for the world. We see that Jesus, when he had given himself over to death, and it all seemed as though Christianity was defeated and as though our leader was gone now, God raised him from the dead so that you and I can have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And God is a master of bringing you back from the dead as well. I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually, emotionally, that you can have new faith in Jesus Christ, that he can take your old stump of a life and he can bring a new branch, a new shoot from you, a new life from you. Calls for repenting of your sins, turning your life over to God and saying, I want to be done with that old life, that old sin, and I want to have a fresh start. God can do that with you. The beauty is that God brought Jesus from the Jewish nation to be our Messiah, that we can have new life and a fresh start. So turn over a new leaf in Jesus and accept him as Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org. to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.